Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin, and I am glad to be with you again for another class. We are starting a brand new series for the Bible School. This series is on walking in divine prosperity. We've got a lot of things that we're going to cover in this class. Before we get into the message, let's go before our Father. Let's ask Him to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this opportunity that we have to be together this way through this internet Bible school. I thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me, that's on the inside of the translator, that's on the inside of the Bible school student or students that are listening at this time. And I pray right now, in Jesus' name, that You would bring forth this message in a way that each and every person could understand, that lives would be changed, that revelation would come forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bible to 3 John. 3 John, and there's only one chapter in 3 John. Only one chapter. And notice what 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2 says. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as," notice this, "even as thy soul prospereth." Notice, it does not say, "even as thy spirit prospereth." Why doesn't it say, "even as thy spirit prospereth"? Because your spirit has already prospered. In the spirit, you have all the prosperity that you're ever going to get. In the spirit, you are complete. In the spirit, you are completely recreated on the inside. God put His nature in you. He put His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You are blessed. In the spirit, you have fully prospered. But in the soul, it's a little bit different. Your soul is your mind, your will, or your emotions. And with your soul, you must prosper. With your soul, you must change. You must change in the area of your thinking, in the area of your emotions. And this is so important in the area of prosperity. Prosperity comes as we prosper in our soul, as we change our thinking. I mean, how rich is God? Does He have any limits? Does He have any limits financially? Does He have any limits in the realm of prosperity? No, He doesn't. He lives in prosperity. It's always there. He sits in prosperity. He walks on prosperity. Everywhere around Him is prosperity. Heaven is full of prosperity. It's full of riches. You know that. Well, this same God lives on the inside of you. The same Holy Spirit that is within Him and that fills heaven with the glory is on the inside of you. There's no distance in the Spirit. Notice with me in James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter, and we're going to be covering this in another class as well, when we talk about spirit, soul, and body. But I want to show you one verse about your soul. Hold your finger, if you haven't done that, hold your finger in 3 John 1 and verse 2, because we're going to come back. But in James, the first chapter, notice what it says in verse 21. James 1 and verse 21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with engrafted," or "receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Notice, to save your souls. You receive the word of God. You receive it with meekness. That means that you're teachable. You're willing to receive the truths of God's Word, to be taught the truths of God's Word, and to change according to what the Word of God says to you. And receive with meekness the engrafted Word, now notice, which is able to save your souls. James here, he's writing to people that are already saved. He's writing here to people that are already born again, people that are already new creations in Christ. In the spirit, they've already changed. But in the soul, there's something that the soul must receive in order to change, in order to come in line with who you are in the spirit. And that is the Word of God. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding the natural face in a glass. The word glass here could also be translated mirror. And what James is teaching us in this verse is that the Word of God is the mirror. You look at the Word of God, and when you see the Word of God, when you receive revelation, the revelation means to see, to get it. It means that it comes alive on the inside of you. What happens when you get revelation, you see a truth. Literally, it goes off on the inside. It becomes a mirror, and you see who you are in Christ. You see what God has provided for you, and you see what to do through the Word to walk in that He has provided for you. That's awesome. And as you see that, your soul has changed. Your thinking has changed. The old way of thinking, you know, when you're born again in the Spirit, you completely change, but that doesn't mean you changed in your thinking. If you had stinking thinking before you got saved, you're probably going to have stinking thinking after you get saved. And so that needs to change, and you need to see who you are in Christ through the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change you in your thoughts. Allow the Word of God to change you in your emotions. Allow the Word of God to change you in your thinking. God's Word is His thoughts. It's exactly right. People say, well, you're not supposed to think. Oh yeah, God thinks. He thinks. His Word is His thoughts. His Word is His thoughts. In the Old Testament, you know, it says that our ways are not His ways and our thoughts are not His thoughts. Well, that has to do with the unrenewed mind. But when the mind, when the soul gets renewed with the Word of God, then we begin to think the way that He thinks. Paul wrote something in Romans, the 12th chapter. And some of you know this. Romans 12, and I'm just giving you a couple of verses because in the future we're going to go into this in much greater detail when we're teaching on the spirit, the soul, and the body. But notice here in Romans, the 12th chapter, and these things are so important when it comes to prospering, because many times this is the reason that Christians are poor, because they grew up in a poor family. And they had a family before that poor family that they grew up in, or that their parents grew up in. And they were poor, and their great-grandparents were poor. And literally, it's a curse that's worked in their life. And the way that the curse has worked in their life is because of the stinking poverty thinking. We have to get rid of that. We have to think the way God thinks. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. And God sees us rich. He's rich, and He lives in us, and He sees you rich. After all, He made this world. And He put all the material things in this world for you and I to enjoy. Isn't that awesome? He didn't put the gold in the ground for the devil and his kids. He didn't put the silver in the ground. That was not His purpose. His purpose was, sure, the world gets in on the benefits. But God put those in there originally for man to enjoy who He expected to be in relationship with Him. It's all there. All the material things are there in this earth for you and I to enjoy. And God likes it when we enjoy that. And we're going to see this in the Word. It's going to knock some religion right out of you if you think that you're called to be poor to serve God in this world. No, your sons and daughters, your kings and your queens, and you're blessed. Hallelujah. In Romans 12, and remember, hold your finger in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 2, because we're going to be coming back to that verse. In Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, so here we have your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy unto God, acceptable unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but here it is, but be ye transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. Paul here, he's writing to born-again believers. He's writing to the same group of people that have become brand new in Christ. Those that have been born again. Those that have been changed on the inside. Those that are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Heavenly places happens to be your human spirit. Those that he's given all things that pertain unto life and godliness to. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to you and I. He's writing to sons and daughters of God. God is our Father. We are his sons and daughters. This is who he's writing to. It says here in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. This is how we are changed. So you've already changed. In the spirit, the word transform means to go through a process of change. You don't go through a process of change in your spirit instantly. When you are born again, you are completely changed on the inside. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. You became like Christ on the inside. Wow. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So now we have three different verses that talk about a change in the soul. Now let's go back to 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Oh, this is good. I mean, look at the way through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit John writes this verse to you and I. He writes this verse to believers. He calls us beloved. Beloved, you know who's actually saying that? This is not John. This is God, our Father, saying this to us. The word beloved means dearly loved. It means treasured. Hallelujah. That's what he says about you. He loves you. He treasures you. You're important to him. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, as your mind is renewed with the word of God. I mean, this is one way that you know whether or not you're on track with what you're learning pertaining to the natural things in this life and your Christian walk. Are you being taught that it's God's will for you to have money? That it's God's will for you to prosper? That it's God's will for you to be successful? That it's God's will for you to have abundance? That it's God's will for you to be a big giver? Oh yeah. All these things. A big receiver? Oh yeah. That is in the realm of prosperity. And everything in this natural life functions around money. Every single thing that you have. Naturally, money was involved. Everything. Well, you might say, well, you know, somebody gave me that new suit, or somebody gave me that pair of pants, or somebody gave me that automobile, or we could go on and on. Well, I tell you, they might have given it to you, but somebody paid for it. And somebody paid for all the materials that are in the items that you have, and somebody paid to get it out of the ground. Every single thing in this natural life functions in one way or another around finances. God is the one that designed everything in this world to function around finances. Wow, isn't that interesting? Verse 2 again, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. It's interesting because there's a scripture in the book of Proverbs. Hold your finger here and go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. And let's begin reading in verse 13. I'm going to get over there. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. And again, hold your finger in 3 John. Hopefully you didn't take it out because we're coming back. If you did, that's okay. You can stop the message and go back and find it. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, it says, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. You might say, well, see here, wisdom is the most important thing. God doesn't want me to have anything. He just wants me to have wisdom. That's what he wants me to have. Verse 15, well, let's find out. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now notice here, verse 16, if you give wisdom, this is what you're going to get. And in the New Testament, we could say if you get your soul renewed, if your soul starts prospering, wisdom is simply the ability to make the right decisions. And what gives us the ability to make the right decisions? The Word of God. The Word of God changing our thinking. The Word of God getting rid of our stinking thinking. The Word of God influencing us in our decision making. The Word of God becoming our life, our decisions, the way we live. Hallelujah. It says here in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. Well, what do you have? In the right hand of wisdom, length of days has to do with health. If you're going to live a long time, you're going to have health in your body. It says, of length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, oh yes, riches and honor. Riches and honor. There are two things in this natural life that are very, very important for you to have. And the more health that you walk in, the less limitations you have in your natural life. See, that's why sickness comes. The sickness comes to put limits on you. It comes to try to keep you from fulfilling God's will in your life. It comes to try to take you out of this life early. It comes to hinder you. But praise God, you know, I've been sick and I've walked in health, and walking in health is much, much better. And it says that the left hand of wisdom is riches and honor. So we could say at the right hand of our soul prospering is health, and at the left hand of our soul prospering is riches and honor. Man, that's powerful. Never said that before. It just came, it's coming by revelation, stronger and stronger. As your soul prospers, as your thinking changes, as you begin to think the thoughts of God, as you begin to think in line with the Word of God, as you begin to think the way that God sees things and the way He thinks about things, then what happens? Your decisions are influenced with the right thoughts. You make the right decisions, and you know what happens? You walk in health. I mean, one of the number one causes of sickness in the body today is stress. Well, what is stress caused from? People carrying cares. People afraid. People worrying. Worrying over and over and over. People that constantly live with negative thoughts, negative thinkings. It creates stress, 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 stress. And this stress literally creates things in the body to keep the body from releasing what it naturally needs to release to keep your body healthy. I mean, that's just a natural issue, let alone all these negative thoughts producing the wrong things to open up fear. And then the enemy, through that fear, can come in and put that sickness on you. Well, praise God, you know that by His stripes you were healed. You know that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And through this, you keep the joy of the Lord, and you keep the right thoughts, and it keeps you healthy. Well, it's the same way with prosperity. Poverty thinking brings depression. Poverty thinking brings limitations. Poverty thinking. I mean, if there's one thing that we as Christians should never say, we should treat this like the biggest cuss word. I'm not telling you that you could think of, because I don't want you to think about a cuss word, but we should never, never, never let this come out of our mouth. I cannot afford. I cannot afford. You know, let me ask you this question. Whose work are you doing? And whose work are you here to do? You're here to do God's work. And if you're doing God's work and He tells you to do something, He's going to pay for it. Hallelujah. He's going to pay for it. I mean, that's the awesome thing about being in the will of God. When you know you're in the will of God, you know that God's going to take care of it. He's going to show you. He's going to show you what to do in order for all those things to be taken care of financially, and you to be able to live a good life at the same time that you're doing what He's called you to do, you taken care of, not just getting by, but with abundance. Oh, He's the God of abundance. And because He's the God of abundance, you can enjoy abundance. I'm telling you, by the time we get done with this class, you're going to get rid of any stinking poverty thinking if you have any of that stuff on the inside of you, because you're going to see things the way God wants you to see it. I'm telling you, God is rich, and He has provided riches for you. He's put riches on the inside of you, and it is absolutely His plan that you enjoy the abundance of finances and material things in your life. And we're going to talk about the purpose of it. There is a purpose for you to prosper in this life. There's a reason for you to prosper in this life. But notice what this verse says again. It says in verse 2, "Beloved," or "dearly loved, I wish above all things." This is coming out of the heart of God's love. God is saying this. He's saying, because I love you above all things, because I love you, I want you to prosper. God loves you so much, He wants you to prosper in this life. God loves you so much, He wants you to walk in divine health. Right there, you see His will for you. It is not God's will for you to be poor in this life, and it is not God's will for you to be sick in your body. I'm telling you, God loves you, and out of His love, He wants you to prosper, and He wants you to walk in divine health. Even as thy soul prospers. So we don't think sick, we think healthy. We don't think poor, we think rich. Now go with me to the Old Testament. Let's look at some powerful passages of Scripture in the Old Testament. Let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at Abraham. You know Abraham in the Old Testament to be the one in the Old Testament that God cut the covenant with, promising that the Redeemer would come through his son Isaac. Isaac being the first Jewish son. Through Isaac, the Jewish race began. And it would be through the Jewish race that the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. Any time that God gets seriously involved with man, He cuts a covenant. He cut a covenant with Adam and Eve. He cut a covenant with Noah. He cut a covenant with Abraham. He cut a covenant with Moses. He cut a covenant with you and I. And in the covenant, there is always prosperity. It's always in the covenant. You could never tell a Jew today that it's not the will of God for them to prosper. They know that prosperity is in the old covenant. They know that it is in the Abrahamic covenant. And go with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and let's look at this about Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, and begin reading with me in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram," and we covered this in our class on blood covenant, about how his name changed from Abram to Abraham. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." In verse 2, "And I will make thee a great nation." Oh, yes. "I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Now look here in verse 3. "And in thee shall all families." Bull. That's you. That's me. This is not just the Jews. It says, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." It was God's will through Abraham and through the promise that God gave to him that all the families of the earth be blessed. So that means that whatever he enjoyed and whatever he benefited from in his life, that same blessing, those same benefits are for you and I through him and through this promise. And the promise was that the Redeemer would come through his bloodline. The Redeemer has come. We've received him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in covenant. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you came into covenant with God as your Father. And you receive the promise that was given to Abraham. You receive the blessing on the inside of you. You are a part of those families that are in the earth that are being blessed by this promise that was given all the way back in Genesis 12 chapter. I mean, in Galatians, the third chapter, in verse 13, this is exactly what it says. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." That, the latter part of Galatians 3 and verse 13, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles or on the other nations. So whatever Abraham was blessed with in the Old Testament, you and I, we've been blessed in the New Testament. We are in covenant relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he was blessed with, you and I are blessed with. Well, let's find out. Let's find out what he was blessed with. Go with me to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Was he blessed with riches? Were riches in the covenant? Are riches in the Abrahamic covenant? Absolutely, absolutely. I like this another verse in Galatians 3 and verse 29. You can write this verse down. Look it up later. Galatians 3 and verse 29, it says, "As many as are Christ's are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Well, are you Christ? If you're Christ, you are Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise. Whatever was for him is for you and I. Whatever Jesus as the seed enjoyed, you and I can enjoy. And I'll tell you something, Jesus was not a poor man. We'll see that in this class on prosperity. We'll see that Jesus was not a poor man. We'll see that he was a rich man. He had plenty of money. Oh yes, he was blessed. You're blessed. Genesis, the 13th chapter, and notice verse 1. It says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south." Now notice here verse 2. "And Abram was what?" Abram was what? Abram was very. Look at this. Not just a little bit. "And Abram was very rich." He was very rich. I mean, if somebody comes to you and they say, "You're rich," or they talk about somebody that's rich, and you think, okay, who's rich? Well, after this class, you're going to be thinking, "I'm rich." Hallelujah. But if they come and they say, "Well, such and such is very rich," I mean, naturally, if we think about somebody that's very rich, I mean, I'm an American, and I think about somebody like Bill Gates. Bill Gates, you know, is one of the richest men in the world, and there's other people that we could mention, other names that we could mention if we mention their name. You know, Michael Jackson just died, just passed away, and people think about him and kind of empire that the man built. Even though he had debt, he definitely walked in the natural realm in riches. People like that, musicians, singers, movie stars, businessmen, on and on. And you think very rich. Well, I'll tell you something. For you and I, we have even greater potential. We're not even walking, many of us, in close to the kind of potential that's on the inside of us to prosper. I'm telling you, it's in the covenant. It says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich." Whoa. In cattle. That means that he had a lot. Not just a few cows. He had a lot of cows. He had a lot of cattle. He was very rich in silver. That means he had a lot of silver. He had plenty, plenty, plenty. And in gold. He was very rich. He didn't have just a little. Abram was very rich. Well, he was blessed. He was blessed with finances. He was blessed with riches. And as we read or quoted Galatians 3 and verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, might come on the other nations." Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham. Whatever was included in the blessing of Abraham, you have. It is in you. The ability to prosper in this life, you have. It is in you. You are in covenant relationship with God. Prosperity belongs to you. You are Christ, therefore, you're Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. You have inherited this blessing to prosper. You have inherited this ability to be very rich in this life. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look at another passage of scripture about Abraham in the Old Testament. Go with me to Genesis, the 24th chapter. Genesis, the 24th chapter. And here we have Abraham seeking a wife for Isaac, and he sends out his servant. And this servant of Abraham meets a woman by the name of Rebekah at a well. And in verse 29 it says, "And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man into the well, and it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands." And by the way, women, it's okay to wear earrings and bracelets. Hello. "And upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of," notice, "the Lord." Hoo-hoo. "Thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the angels." And verse 33, it says, "And there was set meat before him." There was a meal that was set before the servant, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant." This man was out looking for a wife for Abraham's son Isaac. He was looking for a wife for Abraham's son Isaac. And he said, "I am Abraham's servant." Now look at this, verse 35. "And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly." Who's the one that blessed Abraham with all of this substance, with all of these material things? Do not tell me God does not want you to prosper. It says right here, God's the one that blessed him. If God blesses you, you prosper. When you walk in the blessings of God, you walk in the prosperity of God. Hallelujah. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. Well, what happened to Abraham because he was blessed of the Lord greatly? It says he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Right here tells you. It tells you what was included in the blessing of God toward Abraham. And this same blessing is included toward you. Through Abraham, all the families of the earth are blessed. It's God's will for you to prosper in this life. Well, I see that our time has come to an end for our first class. I'll tell you, we've got off to a good start. And I believe that you can see through this first message that we have some wonderful, wonderful things that we're going to cover as we teach on walking in divine prosperity. Father, I thank you for each and every Bible school student. I thank you, Father, for being able to go into the nations, to go all over the world and to bring this message, Father, from your word about all the families of the earth. And I see all the nations of the earth right now blessed. Oh, not through me, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. And that's what I see. And I just pray, Father, for these Bible school students right now, that you will give them revelation and sight about prosperity. That their prosperity is not based upon the economy of the nation that they live in, but it's based upon the blessing that's in the covenant that they are in. And that's the new covenant through what the Lord Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And I thank you, Father, for these things. And I thank you for giving us the right sight through your word about our finances and about prosperity. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. It's been wonderful to be with you, and I look forward to our time that we have together in our next class. This is Mark Irvin.